Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go there.
With Shira and Ryan.
Oh, entertainment.
Music. Pop culture.
LGBT plus news. Let's go there.
Starts now.
Hello.
Hi.
Happy Monday.
Oh my God, it's
Hope
Monday.
You have a great weekend.
This is like the first Monday where I don't feel like crap.
How is that possible?
Well, because, you know, I don't know.
I mean, we had a fun night last night.
We did. We had a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I mean, Trevor Project Gala was in last night. Trevor Live, the Los Angeles Verge.
It was amazing.
Shira, you looked phenomenal.
Thank you. Although, I don't seem to have any pictures to document how phenomenal I looked.
Look, you know what? Okay, here's the thing.
I don't know. I need to go back into my phone.
Here's what happens. This is, you know, when your friends take amazing photos of you and you just sometimes wish your friends would, you know, you take amazing photos of your friends and then you just wish your friends could take amazing photos of you. Well, that kind of happened to me and Shira last night. Like, she took some incredible photos of me.
I stepped it up.
And I thought I took some great photos of her as well, but hers all came out with like one eye open, her mouth droopy. Like, you know, it was just her back was like very gargled. Like,
and
it was like
I had a microphone pack on my back. Like, these are not good pictures.
Normally I'm very good at
taking
your photos.
I was very surprised.
I was a little tipsy, I'm not gonna lie to you.
But a part of me thinks it is me because even someone else who took pictures, I was like, what was going on? I was feeling in my element, but maybe I wasn't.
Well, you think the confidence is there and it's not.
I mean, it was like, I don't care, so I'm just going to, like, not look good in any of these pictures.
So, can I ask you, what was your favorite part? Because this is your ninth year of doing Trevor Gala, Trevor Live.
Yeah.
What was your favorite part? Because it always changes every year.
Yeah, I loved meeting Cybill Shepherd, and then listening to her speech was hilarious.
Oh, she is, like, phenomenal.
She's so funny.
I had no clue she had so many gay people around her.
Yeah.
Like,
she's
it's honestly incredible.
Yeah. And obviously the L word. And she was just like, she's one of those who, she's such an icon at this point. She'll wear her sneakers to the red carpet and she'll be on the stage getting that award and just going off script.
Well, that was hilarious. There was a moment while she was on stage, she was reading the teleprompter and she was like, I guess it was going really slow. And she was like, okay, so tell me why this organization is important.
And she was moving her hands to get the teleprompter to move.
Yeah, so she was like, I need to get to the next part of my thing.
And she was crying and she kissed Jane Lynch.
Yeah, but it was just, you know, it was such a beautiful moment where I felt like it was like a family reunion. I feel like we saw so many people that this is the one year that we are in one place under the same roof. And it felt great.
What was your favorite part?
Ooh, my favorite part had to be, and this might be a little cliche, but my favorite part had to be kind of being on camera with you. We did our red carpet showcase.
That's so sweet.
And it was fun. I really enjoyed doing it. And it always feels so surreal to have, you know, the Trevor Project backing you and Reverie backing you and just people that are in your corner.
My favorite moment was at the after party. Eugene Yang is talking to Zazzy Beetz. All right, so Eugene Yang, of course, from the Try Guys, just like gay icon.
Yeah, we've had him on the show.
And Zazzy Beetz, who recently was in Joker, Deadpool.
Yes.
Amazing, beautiful
Atlanta.
Actress.
Yes, yes, yes.
And Eugene and her are having this conversation, and then Ryan just goes up to her being like, hello, you look amazing. And Eugene's like, you literally just cut into my conversation.
No, he was like, you know what? You have this thing where you just go up to someone and you just know them. Like, you
like
act like you
know
reunion.
Them from
like grade school. And I was like, actually, you're right. That's actually how I approach
it was fascinating. And then I was just watching, and then I said, I apologized on your behalf.
Did you? I was drunk at that point.
Of course you were. But Eugene, I said, you know, I'm really sorry. That was really funny, though. And he was like, oh, it's fine. Don't worry about
it. He knows. Eugene knows who I am at this point. He knows my vibe.
And then he moved on to Sashir Zamata, the other co-host.
But I love Zazzy. She was absolutely amazing. We connected too. So I'm like, it was just great to be under that roof and to know that, you know, everyone raised so much money for Trevor Project, which is obviously a huge, you know, moment for them to really go towards the work that they're doing.
And we'll be talking about a big donation that was given later in the show.
Yes,
like
we will.
A record-breaking donation.
Oh, it's huge.
And also, Mary Lambert is joining us today.
Yes, who was there as well. And that was exciting, reconnecting and then also catching up with her. But we're going to be doing all that later on in the show. So,
yeah, let's get into
what's
trending in the news
now.
Let's top of the hour. This is big news. Chick-fil-A, as the company is expanding happening globally and across the U.S. The chain is planning to change which charities it donates to after years of bad press, as we know, and protests from the LGBT community.
Yes, I don't believe it. I mean, I believe that they're changing, but I don't believe they're doing it out of morals. They're doing it because it's impacting their bank.
Yeah, they're moving away from their current philanthropic structure after donating to more than 300 charitable organizations this year, and they're going to focus on education, homelessness, and hunger.
Wow.
And they said
You said, what was it called? The philanthropic structure?
Yeah.
That they is
said
such
from
a...
its current philanthropic structure. So the new initiative will no longer include donating to organizations like Salvation Army, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and the Paul Anderson Youth Home, which are the organizations that are anti-LGBTQ. Will that change what people think about Chick-fil-A?
No, I think people are going to see right through it. They're going to say, oh, well, you know, where was this move years ago? Where was this move a decade ago? You know, they're still a very religious company, and they didn't think that this was important a couple years ago or even last year. So clearly it's money, and
yeah,
they're still very greedy, and I'm happy that people aren't supporting them.
Well, let's move on to another story. Actually, a poll that came out that is showing what people think about these hearings that are happening and if they think that Trump should be impeached. 70% of Americans think that President Donald Trump, that his request to a foreign leader to investigate his political rival, Joe Biden, is wrong. This is interesting. 21% of Americans say they are following the hearings very closely. 21%.
Which is so sad because I'm one of those 21%, and that is such a low number
it
for
is.
People not to be caring about their country. So get it together, please.
So, since it seems like a lot of you are not following it closely, we're here to keep you updated what you need to know coming up next.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
So, the impeachment inquiry continued on Friday. 6 hours, more than 6 hours, members of Congress tried to get Marie Yovanovitch, the former ambassador to Ukraine.
Respected former ambassador.
Yeah.
I mean, loved, beloved.
A lot of people were saying they were just like trying to get her to cry. Here's one of the questions they asked her. Actually, they read some of Trump's tweets, and here's what she had to say.
What effect do you think that has on other witnesses' willingness to come forward and expose wrongdoing?
Well, it's very intimidating.
It's designed to intimidate, is it not?
I mean, I can't speak to what the president is trying to do, but I think the effect is to be intimidating.
So let's backtrack really quickly before we introduce our guest who's going to be joining us with this conversation. So Donald Trump, in the middle of this testimony during the impeachment hearings, was just live tweeting and saying some terrible, terrible things about Marie. And joining us is Ken Charles from KNX, our sister station, always good for the politics.
Yes.
He said terrible things about her on the call with the president of Ukraine.
He sure did.
This wasn't the first time.
Sure
it wasn't like that. It just came out.
And here's a career diplomat who's worked for multiple presidents from multiple parties, not just Democrat or Republican, and to call her any name, to question her credibility is beyond the pale.
And I mean, even people on you know, Fox News, they were saying, like, if you watched that testimony and you didn't feel anything in your heart, then you're a monster. And then also they were going and saying, you know, Trump, that was a terrible move because now you played into Adam Schiff's hand.
Yeah.
What do you have to say about it?
Like,
well, I mean, first of all, ripping her for being in Somalia.
Yeah.
She was a junior diplomat in Somalia. She had nothing to do with that. So even taking that shot was meaningless. But then to question her patriotism, to question what she has done both in Ukraine and in her other assignments, is ridiculous. And by the way, they have the same problem tomorrow with, you know, Vindman. Here's a guy who's a lieutenant colonel.
Yeah.
He's been in the service. He's a career diplomat. How do you impeach that guy's credibility?
Well, do you think they learned from what happened on Friday? Because I think at this point, it's just showing that Republicans are just digging this hole full of conspiracy theories, and they're going to have to lay in that mess because it makes no sense.
So the Republican plan, when they did all of their sessions where they got in private rooms and tried to play out the parts, they knew they weren't going to be able to impeach her or him, and they tried to be very respectful, ask hard questions, but do it in a respectful way. What they weren't expecting was the president to start tweeting and losing his mind.
Yeah, that doesn't really help their case.
I mean, Jim Jordan is the worst, though. Jim Jordan has really shown a side, which is he's always kind of shown.
It's the same side.
It's the same side, but it's in this case, and kind of the audacity to continue to kind of, you know, he's doing his job, but continue to kind of really try to prove that Trump has done nothing wrong in this case. It's just like, how much like of a leg in
you have to be delusional.
Yeah, it's delusional at that point.
You know, it's hard to take him credibly when we know what we know about the things at Ohio State. Remember, he was, the assistant wrestling coach at a time when there were a number of allegations about, you know, members of that staff sexually abusing members of the team. Allegedly, he knew those rumors. Allegedly, he did nothing about them. He wasn't technically in a place to do anything, but still, he was there. It's hard to take him seriously when he's trying to, you know, rip the credibility of somebody like Marie Yovanovitch or what he's going to probably try to do to Marta Vindman.
So we mentioned this ABC News Ipsos poll that found that 70% of Americans think that what President Trump did as it relates to Ukraine was wrong, but there's only 21% following the hearings very closely. So what was the takeaway? Because so much happens, and obviously we're in the media, we're in the news, so we're following it. A lot of people just like look at the headlines and that's it.
Well, first of all, saying a lot of people look at the headlines, I'm not sure that that's even true.
Right. Maybe that's even right.
If you're going to say a lot of people look at cat videos on Twitter.
And that gets a lot more viewage than, like, anything.
You know, what was the number? 13 million people. Out of a country of 300 and almost 40 million people, 13 million people watched some of this. Not even all of this.
Yeah.
This isn't 1975. This isn't 1997.
Where the only channel is the news channel.
Correct. You know, you can flip to HBO. You can flip to, you know, Oprah's channel if you want. You can go a million and other places. Plus, I think people are fried. But think of the last 2 years that we've had of this.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, they're doing these hearings. Who's got the patience to sit
there? They just want to know, okay, Trump's getting out of there.
Exactly. They want to know what's happening. So what can we expect, I guess, tomorrow? And you kind of like said that. And what was the takeaway from this one? Is there are we leaning to any side at this point?
Okay, so in an obvious way? So let's push all of this aside.
Right.
Okay. So what happened today? Trump undid a 40-year-old policy about settlements in the West Bank in Israel and in the Middle East. That's not a good thing. That could start a war. Trump has decided, because it's bad for him, to not go ahead and push some of his policies about vaping. So while all of this is going on and America's not watching, the government is still going on.
And still Trump doing crappy things.
Trump is still in control, and he's doing things that are undoing decades of policies across the country and across this world that will have more long-term damage than anything that happens out of these hearings.
Okay, so
how does that scare the hell out of you?
Oh my God, that's dark.
It's very dark. But let's flip this, because obviously we talked about how Trump is now considering to actually have a written testimony or kind of go in front of during the impeachment hearings and give his testimony, which is most definitely a terrible idea.
They're investigating now if he lied in his written testimony to
Mueller.
Right. And that's what I wanted to bring up in this. Like, what, honestly, it just feels like, where is this whole thing going? It doesn't really seem like there is an end. And like you said, there's so many more things that we aren't seeing and being heard enough through the, news, because they're talking about this instead of talking about what you just said.
You know, and again, play it out. So, okay, they're gonna go through this. We don't know when the inquiry is going to end, but let's say it's Christmas. Let's say it's January. Let's say it's February. While votes are happening, then it goes to the Senate. So they drop the articles of impeachment. They hand it to the Senate. And what happens?
Yeah.
Okay. He's not getting impeached. Not enough senators are going to vote to kick him out. So now what happens? He gets to run from the end of that, whenever it is, March, April, May, and he gets to run, Mueller found me innocent. I mean,
use
that's
that as ammo. He's going to use it as ammo.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now they came out and they couldn't impeach me and get me out. See, the Democrats are trying to undo you and undo the will of the people.
Real quick, we got to wrap it up. But what if the opposite of that happens? What if it actually does work?
In what way? You mean?
I mean, what if the Senate, like, what if the Senate does? You know,
let's look at the silver lining.
Yeah, okay. Like, what if it happens? What can we expect from that side?
Remember, if the silver lining happens, then we have the silver fox Mike Pence as our president. So just live with that.
Touche.
I mean, guess what? Chick-fil-A is, they're not doing any more anti-LGBTQ things.
So things are changing. We are evolving.
But Mike Pence can change, too.
Listen, they're still closed on Sunday.
Yeah, true.
You know,
we all need a break.
That's
though,
the devil's
Ken.
Work.
You know, and, but it's no Popeye's, you know, sandwich. Apparently,
you're very right.
Wow. All right,
thank
Ken
you,
Charles,
Ken.
KNX, you're awesome.
Ending
making
on a high note,
politics
Popeyes.
Entertaining for us.
We're doomed. Just remember this.
Wow.
We're doomed. Let's just go.
Happy holidays.
You know, listen. While you're eating your turkey and you're having your stuffing. Don't talk politics with your relatives.
Yeah.
That's your takeaway from all of this.
Are apparently Ken Charles.
Yeah. Actually, I would love to have Thanksgiving with you.
Listen, I make a hell of a turkey.
Ooh.
Okay.
Well, thank you for inviting us. We'll be
there. Turkey?
Come on,
okay.
Come on over.
All right, we're moving into top stories of pop culture and entertainment.
Like what?
What's the tea? Well, what's the tea, Ryan?
What's the tea?
Coming up in 6 minutes, you know, we talked about Lizzo and how she's
commercials. Let's
in a... Oh, are you kidding me? Are you going to interrupt my tea? Turn off this mic. So Lizzo is in another court battle, and this time it's with a Postmates driver.
Which
find
is ridiculous.
Out all of it. It's absolutely a mess. Find out coming up the details.
Do you think
next.
She really stole this food?
Yes.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
All right, we are back with What's the Tea, our entertainment pop culture stories of the day.
Yes.
And, you know, we actually talked about this story a couple of months ago when this news actually broke with Lizzo and how she is just, you know, she made a terrible decision by outing her Postmates driver who, I guess, didn't drop off her food and she accused...
I thought he ate some of the food.
Well, no,
the person.
She accused her of stealing her food. She never got the food. And she posted a screenshot of a close-up screenshot of a picture of the carrier. And so we kind of had guessed this when we were talking about it. Like, oh, this Postmate driver is about to sue the mess out of Lizzo. Well, according to People.com, Lizzo is now being sued by said Postmates driver after exposing her identity when she thought she may have stolen the food. Well, the girl's name is Tiffany Wells, and she is suing for libel, intentional infliction of emotional distress, and invasion of privacy. So the lawsuit states that a September incident when Lizzo ordered dinner from the Postmates app but failed to receive the food delivery... she, you know, Lizzo was like, oh, hey, Postmates, this girl, blah, 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 stole my food. And she actually put Tiffany W. So basically kind of put her government name out there.
It's legit.
It's like a mess. Well, many of the singer's loyal fans ended up, you know, jumping to Lizzo's defense saying, and I guess Tiffany ended up getting messages like this. Me pulling up on Tiffany's house and stomping on her ass because she deprived my baby Lizzo of her food. Lizzo.
I mean, there's a lot of bullying that would happen.
Oh, for
case.
Sure. When you, I mean, when you, I think Lizzo forgets the fan base that she has and how powerful that is in every case of the word. Like, you're not just some regular girl anymore, Lizzo. Like, you can't just say stuff. You got people that are crazy and will do things.
Get with the program.
Well, you know, Tiffany actually learned of Lizzo's original tweets from number of texts and phone calls from friends and a family and says the suit... As a relatively private person, this is what Wells was shocked to find out that Lizzo had actually plastered her face on the internet for all to see. She said that even more shocked to find out that her picture was accompanied by a text accusing her of being a thief. So, girl, now the lawsuit accuses the singer of Lizzo with actual malice and reckless disregard for the truth. Because, you know, Lizzo's popularity and prominent following on Twitter, 1.2 million followers, and Instagram, 6.3 million followers. So now Wells is the Postmates driver is saying that she's fearful of her life and that someone may, you know, recognize her if she continued to Postmate. And so now she can't do it.
She doesn't even have a job.
She's saying she's scared to leave her house. Honey, honestly, I don't think it's that serious. I think now she's looking at Lizzo for a paycheck. No shade. I don't actually think she was in any type of danger. And I have had those Postmates drivers where they have literally canceled on me and tried to take my food.
Really?
They're disrespectful sometimes. So I get it. But Lizzo's, I'm not Lizzo, so I can tweet all about it.
Wouldn't you just like call out Postmates, not the driver?
Yeah, but it's also the driver's fault because guess what? If the person doesn't come pick up the food, they get to keep the food.
Just call out Postmates.
I don't know. Well, Lizzo, she better get her bag, you know, her money together because, honey, that girl's going to come
Tiffany,
for a quick little bag.
Tiffany's going to be the star, Postmates star now.
Tiffany's going to be buying Tiffany's. You know, the jewelry store?
I know.
Look, you see
She's
what I'm
that
there?
Money.
Yes, you're welcome. So we got more coming up in What's the Tea. You know, why did J-Lo, you find out why J-Lo didn't get paid for Hustlers and the one thing that doesn't make her horny.
No.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
We're back with What's the Tea, our entertainment pop culture stories of the day. And, okay, look, you know, I feel like we've been talking about J-Lo a lot because, obviously, it's awards season. She's doing all the covers. She's speaking out about the Hustlers.
She's J-Lo.
Yeah, she is J-Lo. You know, Shira, do you still feel like she doesn't deserve an Oscar for her movie, her part in Hustlers?
I'm debating. It depends what she's up against. No. Because I feel like... That was a big role for her, and I know I was impressed, but it wasn't like I felt
groundbreaking.
It wasn't groundbreaking.
Like, she would probably get best supporting, not like lead actress, because
she was a lead though. I don't think she would be supporting.
I think lead, it would technically be a count if, what's her name?
I think she's a supporting. The other woman is a supporting.
No, she's Constance supporting Wu. Because the story was about Constance and J-Lo's character was a part
maybe.
Of Constance
Wu. That would also be a lot between them if Constance Wu was the lead.
Well, she's not being seen at any point of awards. I think she is doing supporting. Well, either way, in a new interview with GQ, who actually named her Icon of the Year, she actually admitted...
GQ named her Icon of the Year?
Yeah. I mean, wow, you hate J-Lo.
No,
thanks.
I do, but I'm trying to think looking
back
at
no,
the year.
I do?
No, I don't. I'm not saying that. But I'm looking back at the year and all the women and like who I need to really think about who made waves.
Well, you heard it here first.
Besides
GQ,
Greta making
contact
waves.
Contact our resident Shira Lazar.
Greta Thunberg.
Ew,
making the waves.
Are you kidding me? Okay.
Get it? Because she's sailing.
Okay. Okay, Shira. Back to What's the Tea.
Go.
More important things. So J-Lo actually admitted that she didn't get paid for her role as Ramona. She never received that paycheck. She said that, you know, she raked in cash from obviously, you know, she said, I didn't get paid a bunch of money for Hustlers. She said, I did it for free and produced it. I bank on myself. That's the Jenny from the block. I do what I want. I do what I love. But it was kind of a really different mindset to get into playing Ramona. Do you actually believe that? Do you think she didn't actually get paid to, like, I guess as a character?
I'm not surprised because I believe she was a producer, an executive producer, and so she probably got money on the back end. Well, yeah, I mean, you said, but, like, yeah. I think like she was not just, you know, a little producer.
So
usually
really
you would get credit, you would get money on the back end instead of taking it off the top because they did produce it, within a week or 2 weeks? They did
it
really quickly.
It was really quick.
They obviously didn't have a huge budget, and so she probably thought, okay, this will be my award-winning, you know, role, possibly, maybe that's what she heard. She believed in it.
Yeah.
And she wanted to put herself out there because I don't feel like she's taken on a dramatic role like this in the past, right?
Have you seen Enough?
No.
Ooh, Enough is that movie. It's that girl and does not get what it deserves.
Really?
Honestly, Enough, where she was playing a domestic abuse victim and she came back and whooped her husband's ass. It was, come on,
you don't
it was
feel
incredible.
Like it was a made-for-TV movie vibe?
No. Are you... How
I'm just asking.
You are dragging J-Lo today on this Monday.
Am I being with Simon Cowell today?
I don't know who this woman is sitting across from me.
I'm not surprised. And it's a smart business move if she was going to do that. And I bet you they made more money on the back end. She probably got more money than she would have been paid.
It made tons of money in the box office. But she actually acknowledged, because to be honest, the idea of like kind of saying that you didn't get paid for it is kind of lies because you did get paid for it in the back end.
Yeah, it kind of is like giving yourself too much credit.
And this is what she says. She acknowledges some people won't believe she's not in the industry for wealth. But she went on to explain, I've never been motivated by money. I've always been motivated by, you know, I want to be a great actress, a great singer, a great dancer. I want to make movies. I want to make music. And the money just comes along with that. And so this interview took a strange turn.
I think we need to shift the conversation a bit. Of like this whole money, like you say that once you're making money and then of course, but like to say that, like I would love her to say like when there was a moment definitely when Jenny from the Block was not making money and she was thinking about money.
Oh, she loves
money.
Loved. How can you say that you don't want money? Like that's the whole reason why, you know, stars are stars, because they want, one, they want the attention, they want the power, and they want the money. And that comes with it. But, you know, actually this interview took a strange turn and she was asked if money makes her horny. And this is what she said.
Oh,
she said, a lot of things make me horny. corny. I don't think money is one of them, but I do like money. Money is an amazing thing. I don't think it turns me on, but it does make things easier after she says, I've never been motivated by money. There's that
oxymoron. What about the person she's with? Did it help that what's J-Rod?
I know she looks at that ring being like, oh, I'm so turned on right now. So if you want to know more about this story and other entertainment stories that we love to cover during What's the Tea, head over to WeAreChannelQ.com and make sure to keep us favorited on that radio.com app.
Okay, coming up, we've got what's trending in the news, top of the hour, what Biden has to say about legalizing marijuana.
It better be a good thing.
Nationwide, coming up next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
We are getting into what's trending in the news right now, top of the hour. Now, Joe Biden is starting to sound a lot like my mom. He says,
what?
I'll tell you why. He says he won't legalize marijuana nationally because it may be a gateway drug.
First of all, your mom deserves more credit than that.
Because my mom always says that weed is a gateway drug. Sorry, Mom.
Actually, my mom says that too, so.
It is a generational thing.
My mom doesn't understand the whole idea about CBD and all these things, yeah. But, you know, I tried to convince her. I was like, there's lotions. It's good for you. You never know.
Yeah, of course, any extreme is bad, but,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So, well, at a town hall event in Las Vegas over the weekend, he addressed marijuana legalization in the U.S., giving his reason why he wouldn't legalize it at a federal level.
To legalize marijuana. I agree with you. I think that's okay. But let me tell you, the truth of the matter is there's not nearly been enough evidence that has been acquired as to whether or not it is a gateway drug. It's a debate. And I want a lot more before I legalize it nationally. I want to make sure we know a lot more about the science behind it.
He should go online because there are a lot of studies happening.
First of all, this is
proving
just...
that the science is proving that it can make a difference and it's not a gateway drug.
Here's the thing. This is just like his answer during the LGBTQ town hall where he was saying something about San Francisco and there being gay bathhouses and it's just something out of nowhere. Like
record players.
Yeah, he's so out of touch with especially kind of how
it's
the Democratic
weird.
Party is evolving. And, you know, it does show, and I think that's what he does. He's a progressive, like, not a progressive, but he's a moderate, you know, Democrat, and he is appealing to both of those lanes. And I think he's not doing a good job because he's forgetting about, you know, the other side. He's just kind of trying to stay in the middle. And this idea about marijuana, you know, people are like, who cares if you smoke? Like, just do it. Like, it's,
I mean,
you
we're
know?
Already moving to shrooms at this point. And like, no, but meaning that is the next drug supposedly to be legalized.
I don't know what you're talking
about. But like, actually, the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies, MAPS, are the people doing this work to prove that it's like, it's okay. Because of course, we're allowing opioids instead. Is that okay? If anything, that's a gateway to death, okay?
It just seems like this is another case of Joe Biden just seeming out of touch. And, you know, I don't want to bring up the age thing, but I just think he's not, his team specifically is not helping him kind of wrap his head around some modern day ideas. And I think that's what's going to bite him in the butt.
Speaking of which, if he was smart, he would get someone like Elizabeth Warren working with Ashley Marie Preston, I just think is so smart on so many levels. And I
get someone working in the cannabis industry?
Or just like get someone in the trenches of youth culture.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I agree.
And Ashley Marie Preston got to talk to her last night. She's fabulous.
Isn't she wonderful?
Yeah. And I was like, what's going on with you and Elizabeth Warren?
Oh, you asked?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's
we should go
juicy.
Back to that and maybe.
Oh, sorry. We had just got to.
Okay. Let's move on to while we were celebrating this week in June Trevor Live, there was the Straight Pride event at Dallas City Hall Plaza.
Oh, gross.
Guess how many people were there? 3 supporters. I think at this point, just close it up. Close up shop. It was hosted by the anti-LGBT group Protecting Our Next Generation. And on their Facebook page, the group promised the event would include discussions of abortion, marriage values, genders. And it said, we as Americans are allowing our values and morals to be compromised. And Super Happy Fun America, that far-right group that organized the Boston Straight Pride Parade in August, had promised to send supporters to the event. Well, it seems like there's no movement here, thankfully. So that's that. Okay. I don't want to put too much focus on that. Let's move on to Christine Blasey Ford, who, you know, accused Justice Brett Kavanaugh of sexual assault.
In that iconic photo that you'll always remember in the history books of her standing with those, it was like she's just standing so tall and bravely and courage, and all the people were like,
yeah, that was before his confirmation to the Supreme Court last year. Well, she made a rare public appearance last night to accept an award honoring her courage, and she admitted in her acceptance speech that she hadn't felt it all brave when she publicly testified in that iconic picture about her experience before the Senate Judiciary Committee.
And when I came forward last September, I did not feel courageous. I was simply doing my duty as a citizen, providing information to the Senate that I believed would be relevant to the Supreme Court nomination process. I thought anyone in my position, of course, would do the same thing. I had the example of Anita Hill. I had the values instilled in me by my parents and growing up in Washington, D.C. I had a responsibility to my country.
She also shared how she had to hire security personnel after receiving a lot of threats following that Senate testimony. And she said she has a sense of responsibility to her country, students, and children. And that inspired her to speak up. She also revealed that over 200,000 people from across the U.S. and around the world had sent her messages of support and their own stories of assault and abuse following her testimony.
I mean, I find her courage so wonderful.
And to be accused that she was just doing it, she was paid to do it, is so ridiculous.
Yeah, that is ridiculous. But overall, I think about just what it takes for her to be someone like who she is.
Oh, yeah.
And so that really, no matter what they try to slander her name, that's all that I really think about.
Yep. Well, that was some What's Trending in the News top of the hour. Coming up, we've got a very special guest.
Oh, yes.
Grammy-nominated singer, songwriter, poet, artist, Mary Lambert is joining us to talk all about her new album. Plus, we'll be listening to her new single.
Let's go there. With Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Now, honey, that was my fave song, Same Love, by Macklemore and the one and only queen, Mary Lambert.
Speaking of which, Mary Lambert is in the studio.
Look how meta that is. Is that like
that was
how radio works?
At all.
Cool.
We are so excited. We saw you last night. We were partying at Trevor Live last night.
Which was your first time, right?
Yeah, it was my first time going.
How was the experience?
I had a blast.
Yeah,
I almost swore.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
I had a flipping blast.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you actually ended up singing that song out of nowhere, like one of the drag stars.
Nina West,
ultimate hero. When Nina West asks you if you want to sing at the after party, you sing at the after party.
You do. And you went there. We appreciated it. Everyone loved
it. It was highlight. It was the best moment of the night, in my opinion. Not just because you're here and you're a friend, but honestly, it was so, everyone had their phones out. Everyone was like, look at Mary sing.
I don't know how many drinks you had, but like, do you remember me telling her to promote your album after?
yes.
She has a new album, okay?
It was amazing. Did you take the mic? Like, Grief Creature is out now. I was like, yes, these are the people I need in my life.
Which, speaking of, that's a perfect segue in going into, you do have a new album
out.
Grief Creature. Yes. How, you know, I've read so much, you know, all the different press and interviews that you've been doing and how, and we even talked a little bit about how this, you know, album really, you know, surfaces the trauma and the hope. And how did all of that kind of help you create this album that everyone's going to be listening to? You should be anyway.
I don't know. I write from a really vulnerable perspective, and that's kind of the only way that I know how to do it. I wanted to write something that felt like radically personal. And, you know, I believe in like songwriting and music as a form of like civic engagement. Mm. And I want what I do to be healing. And otherwise, like, I'm not the kind of person that just wants to stand on a stage and just be like, look at me. I mean, that's cool. I understand why some people want that. The like applause is amazing. And it's not that my ego is not involved at all, but the impetus for creating and for sharing is to remind people that they're not the only people that feel certain ways, you know?
Yeah, remind them of the feelings and experiences in their own hearts.
Yeah. And that they're, you know, they're, trauma and their pain and their struggle is valid and real. And I feel like oftentimes we listen to stuff on the radio that has, it has a very like simplified anthemic message of like, just be yourself, or like, everything's going to be okay, or mm-hmm. you're not alone. And those messages are great. They are, they should be there.
Yeah.
But it's so much more complex than
it's
that.
It's easier said than done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also like, it's about like, first you have to acknowledge what happened. You have to acknowledge your pain and your like, what maybe your childhood was like. And, you know, this album, I talk about sexual assault. I talk about, you know, my bipolar disorder. I talk about trauma in general. Yeah. And like, I only know how to write from that point of view,
yeah,
because I need to heal. And that's what I That's what I do.
Mary Lambert is with us right now again. Her new album, Grief Creature, is out now. What does that mean? What's a grief creature?
Thank you for that question.
Yeah.
That is a great question.
Yeah. Sometimes
it feels like a like some sort of caricature.
Yeah. I feel like sometimes when I'm at my worst, or I like, if I can't get out of bed, and maybe it's been like a really frustrating brain day, I don't feel like a person, and I wanted to be frank and real about what that feels like. It's not like a grief princess, you know? Also, that's a great, great name.
Where's Trauma Barbie and where's Grief Barbie? I want to see those two.
But, you know, with that and this idea of like, you know, being so open and vulnerable, oftentimes you have to kind of relive all of that stuff that you're going through. Mm. And it's like, is it really worth it? Mm.
I think so. I think that like, I don't re-trigger myself. I wouldn't put myself on a platter that way.
Okay,
but I know that I can't tour this album right now. I need a little bit of time. So I did two shows. I did a show in Seattle and I did a show in LA.
Yeah.
And that's going to be it for a while until I, you know, maybe this album sits out for a while and I can process through it.
I was going to ask work while being bipolar, like how does that influence your work? Because there's a lot of highs and lows.
Yeah. I used to believe, I didn't go on medication for a long time because I used to believe that the only way I could create was if I was manic, and that I needed to have a good story. And so I would like, you know, I went through a fair amount of trauma growing up, but there was a point where the tide turned and a lot of my wounds became self-inflicted. Like I was making choices to sabotage myself and be self-destructive because I thought that I needed a story to tell. You know?
Wow. Yeah. That is so powerful. And I literally just got chills.
It's real.
I want you, because I want to come back on the break and actually talk a little bit more about that. But here's a little surprise for you. We're playing the full song of your new single, Born Sad, right here, because Channel Q loves you and everything
and
that you
do. And it's a great song.
It's beautiful. And we had no other choice. Our program director was like, play the full song. So here, could you set it up? Tell everyone what they're about to listen to and kind of announce yourself.
Yes. So this is Born Sad, and it is kind of like a bipolar anthem. I wrote it like 10 years ago.
No way.
What?
Yeah, I wrote this song 10 years ago, and it has felt like, it's kind of felt like my thesis statement as a human being of what I believe in. And also it's one of my only like upbeat songs on this album. So of course
I appreciate it.
Of course I named it Born Sad.
The irony.
It's like, we need some real balance here.
Yeah.
So enjoy. And I produced it myself.
Queen. Yes. Yeah. Here we go.
Keeping my head above water is all that I know how to do. But it's kind of beautiful. Underneath it all, ever since I was a child, was always a sad one. And why you gotta cry all the time, all the time? Keeping my head head above water is all that I can do. Did anybody ever teach you? Some people are born sad. Am I just born sad, born sad, born sad? Secrets to keep creeping out in my sleep. Asking my good God, will they ever go away? Am I just born sad, born sad?
Yes, Mary Lambert, Born Sad, her new single right here
I'm
on Channel
with
Q.
You and
I love being here. I really want to stay here all day.
I mean,
you are welcome to.
You're
we appreciate
to.
That. But we love when we have people here and we all connect and it's just love in the air.
Yeah.
So with this song, Born Sad, you know, and especially I'm thinking about the creative process of all of this for Grief Creatures. Does it ever take a toll on any of your relationships, like friendships, actual partnerships, because you are kind of going through everything?
I think because it's from my perspective and it's like from me. Like, everybody in my life sort of understands that.
Oh, yeah.
And they should never wrong me. I'm just
watch out.
As she said, with knives coming out.
You'll end up in a song. Do you put people that you date in like that in songs? Is it obvious if I'm your friend or maybe I've done you wrong or if I have dated you, will I see that I'm in a song?
Probably. But yeah. I don't, like, I feel like, there have been a few songs where I didn't write them about anybody in particular. Like, it just kind of was like, oh, this is the concept of love, or this is a character that is feeling this way.
Also, and if it speaks to someone that may be in your circle or life, and if it's a positive or a negative thing, they will catch on to it. And
totally.
It's like, that's the message for you.
Right. Like, one of the songs on the album called Write You a Song, I wrote it, like, a couple years ago, and it wasn't about anybody.
Yeah. But do you think you can now look at it now and it's like, oh, maybe this person...
Oh, I can apply. I apply it to Paige all the time.
That's your girlfriend?
Yes.
Okay.
The cutie patootie girlfriend.
So that's beautiful. I hope she's listening. Cute. And if she's not, watch out.
I told her. I was like, if you don't listen, I resent you.
Nice. I love it. It's only love. So you...
Look, we got one snort out of Mary.
Snorts are real.
I feel like Mary did like three snorts the last time she was here a year ago. Yeah. So now we got to make sure we get that.
You produced this album as well. What was that like?
Oh, it was amazing. It's something I always wanted to do. And I realized the only way I've been heard to the public is through producers. And through the certain producers I've worked with is a lens of a straight white cis guy. And that is just the majority of producers that are like picked from like labels picking them, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like, I love them and I am glad that I worked with them. But I realized at a certain point that no matter how, you know, how emboldened I was or how like, you know, free I was or how gentle and generous they were, I was still making myself small in the studio. And I think it's just a natural impulse. I don't know if it's like an upbringing thing. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know if anybody else experiences that. But But for me in the studio, like I just feel like, oh, they probably want to have their own creative, you know, identity in the song, and I want to make room for them. So when I'm talking on this album about my sexual assault, I don't feel comfortable opening that up for another producer to even remotely be involved. And I needed time to, well, figure out how to produce.
Yeah. Right, you got to actually
learn. This album took me 5 years.
Okay.
Five years?
Yes.
But when was your last album, though?
It was in 2017, but I was starting on this album 5 years ago. Mm. I started the songs on that, and part of the reason Capital and I parted ways was because of this album.
Okay, so continue on with that, because, yeah, I did see that, and now you're fully, like, independent,
yes,
right?
Yes.
How has that transition
been? Oh, I love it.
Really?
I love it. Oh, my God. I keep my masters. Nobody tells me what to do.
How do you feel the whole Taylor Swift situation?
Come on, Sherry. You better read my mind.
Because when I thought about, like, yeah, doing your own thing.
Yeah, I 100% understood everything she was talking about. And the feeling of that you're almost in captivity, of, like, you're under sort of lock and key and you don't get to... you start losing agency of your own work. It is, it's absurd. It's like, it's music. It should be shared. It should be up to your discretion if you wrote it and performed it. Like, it's bananas to me.
It's crazy because, you know, I am known for not always being on Taylor Swift's side, honey. I'm very open about that. Mm-hmm. But I think in this moment, when I saw everything and read everything, and I'm like, oh, you have to know what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. And this, in this case, those men are terrible.
And Scooter Braun, being an artist manager, like someone who's loves the artist, he was not looking out for the artist in this case.
No.
Yeah. So I guess how do you make sure you stay inspired in an industry like this, because also being independent also brings in the other stresses of having to shape everything yourself.
Totally. I mean, there are moments where I'm like, oh man, I miss the infrastructure. Like I miss somebody just making calling these people or emailing these people. It's a lot of administrative work. Mm-hmm. The good news is I love running a business. Yes. I love it.
Mary
I love
Lambert,
running
the entrepreneur.
Yes. And my ultimate goal, I want to run a record label.
Cool.
I think it would be so much fun. I would love to be an artist manager. I think it would be so much fun. But I also want to teach. I also want to act.
You want to do a little bit of everything.
So what kind of, if you had a label, like, what kind of artist would you want to have on the label?
Primarily, you know, femmes, queer people, trans people, non-binary people, people of color.
Is there a label that like focuses on that now?
I don't think so. And that's the thing. You're hearing those buzzwords in Hollywood, now in music, where it's inclusion, it's diversity, but have we really reached that yet? Because, you know, going back to what you were talking about when it comes to producers and having, feeling like, oh, you can't 100% be yourself when you need that to make your art.
Yeah, I would encourage, like, my goal is to, like, encourage my artists to, you know, be a big part of the production process as well and take ownership of that process. So that's my ultimate dream. Because I feel like, yes, we sort of, like, I worry that too much of the industry is like tokenizing marginalized people and not actually like caring for them. And it is Trans Awareness Week.
Yes, it is.
And so what I'm thinking too is like, let's like not just tokenize marginalized people. Let's give them money and a platform and care.
And just don't
call
them out to talk about their traumas. Because that's a lot of the things when we need someone of a certain experience, we call them when it's like a headline in the news and we need to know their perspective.
Yeah.
And that's what happened when, you know, the whole Jussie Smollett situation happened, and now we're reflecting it, and it happened to me in certain cases where I loved to go on those platforms and talk about it. But it's also like, well, I have to actually live with me being a queer black man, and that can possibly happen to me, to my sister, to my brother, anyone that I consider family and my chosen family. Right, right.
And you don't represent everyone's experience. Where right. if someone like, you know, not me, but someone like me might say like, okay, so as a black person, what is the black community thing?
Honey, yeah. yes.
Okay. Yeah. So after this, we're going to talk about your new single with Macklemore. We'll be back with Mary Lambert right after this.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Mary Lambert, Grammy-nominated singer, songwriter, poet, artist, is in the studio
yes,
with
all
us.
All the multi-hyphenates.
We've been enjoying and talking about her new album, Grief Creature, that's out right now. And of course, we got to play the song Born Sad, her new single.
Which honestly was not, I mean, it is a sad, if you listen to the lyrics, it's most definitely sad, but the music of it all, it will not put you in a sad mood.
No, it's got an indie shuffle.
Yeah.
The indie shuffle, the depression shuffle.
Yeah. Do you think Mary Lambert will always continue to make sad music?
I don't know. I mean, this is like, this album was what I always wanted to make. Mm-hmm. And I felt a little tied down to a sort of pop career prior to this that I felt like I couldn't totally express myself. And now I don't know if I have anything more to say.
I'm like, really?
I read an article apparently that I said in an interview where I described it as career hospice.
Fascinating.
Wait, you described your interview like your they said they interpreted that way.
She said that she's in career hospice.
I said that.
Actually, it might be like more like you've done a lot and you kind of plateaued and brought everything out and now there's a new chapter or even a new book. But you get to go through that process to figure out what that is.
Yeah, I feel like I'm on the ledge of the great unknown. Yeah. And I don't know obviously I don't know what that feels like, but I
But you also seem so like happier. Not saying you weren't happier, but you seem so much like just lighter. So it's like maybe that's the new music that maybe you feel like you can tie in that message, but also it's like the other side of what you just put out.
Yeah, it's possible. I'm not sure. I love to cry and sing. So I'm sure I will always find something to cry at. and songwriting is like how I process.
Yeah.
So you don't really have to process being happy, you know? Like
that's true.
That's
why?
For
that's,
me.
Yeah. That's so interesting.
But there's so much I want to do, you know?
Yeah, of course.
But I do feel like I have done so much work on this album. I've been kind of obsessed with it for 5 years and I'm ready to set it down and see what happens. And I'm also like, I'm at the next chapter. Like, I think my partner and I want to get married and have kids.
See, that's what I'm saying. You need to make happy lesbian music.
Breaking news. And I don't want to be freaking out between projects, you know? Yeah. I want something a little stable.
Is it an age thing? Or do you think
know.
It's like...
I think so. I'm like
a midlife crisis?
I just turned 30.
Oh, you're so young still.
But I just feel like I want to know what happens next, rather than just being like, "Oh, I don't know."
So,
you always don't know.
Are you saying this might be your last album, or is there music still coming?
I'm sure there will be music in the future, but I don't have plans for it.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm like retiring from music, but I don't have any plans to record or write anything.
That's where things are started when it's like a blank slate.
I'll always write, but I just don't know. I don't feel like I want to release anything for a while. Well, you know what? I do want to make a holiday album.
Thank you. Are you kidding me?
I'm going to do like holiday standards.
Yes.
There's so much money in it. Everybody loves Christmas.
And you deserve. Put a little queer twist on it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, we need a redo. What's that song that's problematic?
Maybe it's,
do like a twist on that.
Yeah.
And somehow.
Yeah. How will it go? I'm excited to maybe, yeah.
So
ideas are happening right here. I was going to talk about the new song.
Talk about Macklemore.
Macklemore, you brought him into this new album for this song.
Reunion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell us about the song.
Yeah. It's called House of Mirrors. And it's kind of about, we wrote it from the perspective of us kind of facing our own demons. And like, for me personally, I think there was a period of time where I was just like, all of this bad stuff keeps happening to me without really examining what systems do I have in place? Who are the people around me that I've chosen to be around me? And I'm going to be a product of that environment. So what is within my control to change?
Ooh, so you went through like a accountability audit, like a tax audit.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
With accountability.
Right.
That's a good phrase.
Yes. And you know, he and I have been friends since, you know, since Same Love. And yeah, we toured around the country, around the world for 2 years. And he just is always there when I'm crying. And he just is like my big brother.
And right away, you're like, well, I'm doing this album. Yeah. Want to do a song together.
Yeah.
What's your writing process together? Are you like writing this separately and then you come together?
No. I went to his, we worked in a studio. And I asked our friend Budo to join us to sort of, you know, we have two different styles, and, yeah, and I think someone in the middle would be helpful.
A neutral party.
Yeah. So we all wrote the song together. I think I played piano, and then Budo played piano, and we were trying to figure out the chord progression, and then Budo laid some drums down, and then Macklemore and I wrote to it, just of like, you know, we were in the room, just kind of being quiet, I was kind of singing to myself. He was, you know, I could see him chewing on some ideas. And then I took the track to my studio and I produced it out. And I was like, in the middle of the studio, I was like producing and I was just like, oh my God, I'm producing Macklemore. Like, I was like, this is so
like a realization.
Cool. I'm a star.
Cool. Yes. You better say that. You are.
Would you produce more, do you think, in the future?
Yeah, actually, that's another part of what I'd like to do. So I started producing a few other artists, and okay, I have a project coming out with my friend Hollis, who's on the album, and I produced one of her songs on her album, and I'm working on a song with my friend Whitney that I'm producing, and I'd like to keep doing it. It's really fun.
So I'm going to end this on a high note, because I do want to know.
We've been high the whole time.
Right?
Not that high.
But
vibes.
With you having the pleasure of being in the public eye and all these things, is there ever a moment where you're just like, I just want to really just step back, and or maybe I would have chosen just not to take the route that you're on now. Is there ever that moment where you're like, I just want to be regular Mary?
There was a period of time where I was getting like, I remember when the schedule was getting really intense and I was starting to feel really disconnected from the world, and I thought, God, I wish the plane would go down. And as soon as I had that thought, I was like, I worked so hard to get out of like suicide ideation.
Yeah.
And here I am
back,
having the same feeling, and I have everything I could possibly want. So what do I need out of this? So that was like when I parted ways with the label. It was really amicable. It felt like an act of love. And I got to sort of reassess what was important to me, what I value in success, what success means to me. And so I live in the woods. I live in the woods in Massachusetts, and I come out here and I do photo shoots and I'm really fancy.
Yes.
And then I go back home
to the woods.
And I take the dogs to daycare and I chop wood. Like,
that helps being in
I love
nature.
It. I'm so
not gonna
lucky.
Lie to you, that is the most lesbian sentence.
In my Subaru.
You might be wearing plaid.
Yeah, and like right now, my partner and I are really into just like learning. Oh, so we've just, my partner's gonna be on Jeopardy next week.
That's wild. Alex Trebek, I mean, that's, you know, yeah, she's
can
gonna
she
be the
come
last
next time
there.
I want to
yes,
meet.
Yes.
I would love that. Maybe we'll just go take a trip to Massachusetts.
Come out, please.
Let's do the show from Boston.
Fun.
That's cute. All right.
Mary Lambert, you are a great grief creature. Out now.
Woo-hoo!
Check out the album, and we can't wait to see you.
And you
very
can say this was
soon.
The best interview you've had thus
this
far.
This is the best interview of my life.
All right, take that sound clip and make it everywhere.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment. We'll be getting into the story behind these Kim Petras billboards that are popping up in Kansas.
Ooh.
That's next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, let's get into some what's trending in the news right now. Top of the hour.
My bad. That was my fault.
Also, by the way, if you missed any of our interview with Mary Lambert, we
the
post that on our site, wearechannelq.com.
Isn't she incredible?
She's fun.
Every single time. And this was our year anniversary. I forgot to even mention that. That's the fact that, you know, she was here last year in November around this time to promote her book.
I feel like before we know it, we're going to be doing this for 10 years.
Are you kidding me? I can only imagine how many gray hairs
children.
I will have.
You're going to be a godfather.
Oh, that's gross. Okay,
God, we're really getting down the rabbit hole now. Let's move on to a story about Kim Petras.
Okay.
Who, of course, is breaking boundaries in the music industry as one of the first transgender artists. Uh-huh. We need to get her on our show. She's been on The Morning Show, of course.
Oh, yeah, I know, yeah.
But someone is making sure that the hateful Westboro Baptist Church knows all about her with this series of billboards near its Topeka, Kansas headquarters. So sources in Petras' camp told TMZ that she has actually nothing to do with the four billboards themselves. Isn't that interesting?
Well, yeah, because they're making it seem like...
It looks like she would have done that as like a marketing stunt.
Yeah, it's actually a really cute billboard.
It's her. It says, "Call me baby, Kim Petras." And it says a number in the corner. And she said, though, in a statement, "I love this. Whoever did this should text me at the number on the billboard so that I can thank them." According to TMZ, the phone number used on the billboards is an actual number. Petras references it in her song, "Got My Number," and they're apparently the digits for her friend, fellow singer, who we've had on the show, Jesse St. John.
Oh, are you serious?
I'm assuming he might have maybe canceled that number. I'm not sure.
I hope he did, but maybe I need to text him to find out if I still have his
number. We should text that number and see where it goes to. She went on to say, "This is the best, and I'm all about it." So that's cool. It's free publicity.
Yeah, and she's doing everything she can to make sure the people of Westboro Baptist Church hates her.
Or they can't get enough of her.
Or they're having a terrible time.
Yeah. It reminds me of that movie, the billboard movie, where they put the billboards up in that small town.
I've never seen that movie, but...
It's good.
Yeah.
It's award winning.
Yeah, it did.
Let's move on to a big story coming out of Trevor Live, the gala we were at last night.
Yes, yes, yes.
And one of the biggest donations they've ever gotten, the PwC Charitable Foundation made a historic investment saving LGBTQ youth. And the foundation is an arm of PricewaterhouseCoopers. And they said they're going to invest $6 million in the Trevor Project over the next 4 years with an end goal of ending the suicide crisis facing this community.
So when they made this announcement, I feel like you could audibly hear everyone's mouth drop because no one was expecting this. And
it
was like, are you kidding me? $6 million over, I mean, that's like $1.8 million. And, you know, Trevor had already had goals of reaching for donations like, you know, $300,000. But, dude, they exceeded that so much. It's crazy. It's groundbreaking.
And of course, they're going to be using that money for their life-saving services through technology. I also talked to someone at Trevor last night, and they, of course, said they need more volunteers. So it's going to allow them to build out a whole volunteer program and just really expand the work they do. And they already do such great work.
They do.
I can't imagine what they're going to do with this extra support.
I know. It's honestly so exciting because I know they want to do so much more, and they're already doing, I mean, so much already, and it's just beautiful that we know that they're finally getting the funds. Like, this is why, you know, organizations like these are so important.
If you're a brand that has money, put it to
good
use.
Come on, do it.
So that was some What's Trending in the News top of the hour. Right now, we are getting into the topic of being beautiful and attractive.
Oh, thank you for talking about me, Shira.
Yeah, of course, we always do. You're always a focus. A beginning of a conversation. So I guess, would you assume that being attractive at work or in life helps you with opportunities?
No.
You really?
Well, I mean, I don't think, to be honest, I feel like there are way more attractive people than me.
I meant in general.
No, but I'm just saying, when you think about the idea of like them being fit, being like, you know, they're not a person of color, if you want to really talk about the systemic parts of it all. And, you know, I think a lot of people like me because I do have a very interesting look. But to be honest, there's way more people that you will see probably ahead of the game and getting a little bit more, you know, great treatment, kind of like my friend, not Shira, just in general, because she's beautiful. Yeah, because you're a beautiful woman and you never know, you know, people may like that of you, like in any type of business setting. They'll
like
look at you before they look at me.
Worked for me, against me. I also feel like I'm not the typical, like, all-American. And that's the thing. I feel like I've always been on the outskirts of like.
But that doesn't mean that you're not beautiful.
Look.
And at the end of the day, you know, just man in general, cis hetero man, they like a beautiful woman.
Listen, I know my worth. I know I look in the mirror and I say, you're hot, you're sexy. I feel it as an empowerment thing.
So my hotness wouldn't work really if I'm working for someone that's straight, because they're not looking at me like that.
Yeah.
Unless I'm in television, like, oh, he's an attractive guy. He should be on camera.
Exactly. Well, it's an interesting thing. Obviously, yeah. We don't know what it's like because we can't get in the brain of that person.
True.
But it is an assumption, and research has also shown in the past that people who are deemed, quote-unquote, attractive or hot get paid more, receive Ooh. Better job evaluations, and are generally more employable. And listen to this. It's been shown that good-looking CEOs bring better stock returns for their companies.
So can we talk about that really quick? Like, you know, Shira, the whole premise, I feel like, of Instagram and, like, IG models and the whole start of when brands were starting to work with these super attractive people on that were posting beautiful photos was because they were attractive. They noticed that a lot of people, you know, wanted to be like them or look like
them. It's called the thirst trap.
Yeah, and you know, the shirtless photos of the hot buff guys or the bikini photos of the beautiful women. Like, that is kind of a part of our system, and it's a part of capitalism that's always really been there. Sex sells from when Paris Hilton was eating the Hardee's, the burgers.
Carl's Jr.
I mean, it's called Hardee's at home back in Nashville. It's called Carl's Jr. here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. But when, you know, the sex sells of it all, like Jessica Simpson, like, it was all those things where it is true. I think attractive people can have a little bit more of success than a little, you know, more people.
Or in the past, that's been the case.
I think it still is a little bit.
Well, actually, coming up, we have someone joining us who's done a study that will blow your mind.
Okay.
Because it proves otherwise. It's coming up after this.
Really?
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
We've been talking about attractive people being more successful at work, but the twist is the trend might be changing. Shun Jan, who did a study on the topic, joins us right now. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for being here. Yeah.
Hi.
So, thank you for having me.
Of course. We are very interested in the topic and the article you wrote in Mike.com. So tell us about the study and what the findings were.
Okay. Our findings, as the title shows, like, beautiful people don't always win in a workplace. That means beauty premium, as we always believe true is true, actually may not work in certain circumstances. So, for example, our study shows that we found, at least in the context or service context of in a restaurant or airlines and even in shopping malls, when you interact with service providers in these cases, beautiful employees actually sometimes been perceived as, you know, providing lower quality of service.
So, because they were hot?
Well,
I assume, yes.
Oh.
I do want to know.
We show, yes.
No, I do want to know, though, like, how do you pick who's beautiful or not? Because doesn't that kind of sound, it starts to, a study like this can kind of be a little bit problematic if you think about it in some ways, where you're like, oh, that person is society's, you know, standards of beauty versus the other person is what, ugly?
Well, that's a very good question. So our research referenced the previous defining beauty. For example, if you look symmetric or if you're perceived by normal, regular people as beautiful. Well, before our main study, we did a pretest. So we used the photo, original photo and a Photoshop as, or added the photo as, you know, we changed a little bit, touched a little bit by the professional editing photo editor, and changed it into lower, like a less beautiful versus more beautiful. So we did consider, oh, maybe some people perceive it as, hey, we see this person as more beautiful.
Does that mean like different body comments, parts?
Right.
Like,
no,
different,
it's more face. Is it face or
yeah,
body?
Yeah, is it body?
Well, we use the face in our study as the proximity, you know, of the physical attractiveness. But yes, you might use body type or features as a part of judgment as how beautiful a person is. Mm. Yes.
Yeah, and your results found that beauty can create distance, which is why it might actually not serve you in life or in work, because people don't actually want to connect and do things with you. It's like you seem not as accessible. Is that it?
That's Yeah, that's correct. So our finding, one of the findings, like why people feel or don't want to interact with beautiful people is that when, especially for customers, when they perceive themselves or see themselves as less good looking, and when they interact with the good looking employees, that we feel like, yeah, he or she's much more beautiful than I am or than what I see myself as. So I feel the distance, or at least the psychological distance between the customer and the service provider.
So,
and that distance, yes.
Oh, no, continue. You were saying.
Yeah, that distance really caused that or unwillingness to interact with the beautiful employees.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That does.
Or like being intimidated. Yeah.
But I guess, yeah, you know, for the beautiful people out there listening, now they're like, okay, I'm never going to succeed at work or move up because people are intimidated. So could you please tell me, how will I survive?
Well, you know, a beauty premium does exist. Our study is just providing certain scenarios like, hey, when does that not hold, right? So as I think beginning or the starting of my article is like, yes, we do believe, or it is a general belief that beauty premium does exist, and you are more or in general are believed to be more likely to be successful or more likely to get hired. You know, yes, it is what it is being observed. But
it seems, I would assume it seems like in some industries or some places.
Yeah.
I'm going to continue because I read the article.
Yeah. so this is actually...
this is my version of it.
That's actually Shira who was talking the entire time.
No, I was like, I'm assuming she's like, they looked at, and through this article on Mike.com, how in other parts of industries or positions, yeah, specifically the service industry, how it could work against you. And I think like that makes sense, but that's a fascinating thing. I also think our definition of beauty is changing. Let's be clear.
Yeah. I do think that, yeah, that there's a tough conversation to be had there. But watch out, you know, beautiful people. We are out here being attacked.
You're a marginalized group.
We are marginalized.
Okay, coming up, we've got our Yaz Queen of the Day. This one is a good one, so you're not going to want to miss it.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Well, that does it for today's show. What a great way to start the week.
I mean, such a great show. Mary Lambert, Project Q, which, by the way, if you want to get involved with what you heard during our Yes Queen, head up their website, projectq.me, because what they're doing is so important and the work, yep, is so incredible, and you have to get involved.
Definitely. And, of course, if you missed any of today's show, don't you worry. We post it as a podcast on our site. We are channelq.com. And wherever podcasts are available. Mm-hmm. Now, coming up on tomorrow's show, we're talking about Pete Buttigieg, who might have just messed up big time. Why is that, Ryan?
Girl, because there was a recent study that, it's not even a study, it was a big announcement about Black support that cited people who weren't Black,
huh?
And they didn't even support him or, like, endorse him, so...
How does that even work?
Yeah, we're gonna dive into that because he has some major explaining to do. Maybe we'll get him on the phone.
We should totally call him up. DM him, get him on the phone.
That's not the way to get Black supporters, don't lie.
Plus, how to be there for your partner after they lose their job without annoying the living bleep out of them. Because, you know, it happens and it's hard to deal with that.
That can destroy a relationship. Well,
because it impacts your mental health, it impacts your sense of self-worth and your value, and getting through that is a huge hump.
And it kind of just... was a part in destroying my last relationship, too. So maybe we'll talk about that.
And kind of also was like kind of my last one, too.
Yeah, so we'll talk about
that. And kind of it also didn't help my life either. And all my opportunities. Oh my God, this is.
Okay.
Let's not end this on a bad note.
It's the reason why we're talking about it tomorrow.
God. Yeah, I think we've all been there.
Yeah.
Okay, that's on tomorrow's show. Let's go there with Shira and Ryan. Mm-hmm. That's us on Channel Q, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. We are sending you love and light.
And honey, remember to slight and make sure to listen to Mary Lambert's new album, yeah, Grief Creatures.
Do it and stay tuned for Loveline with Dr. Chris right after this.
Bye, guys.